اور اس قابلیت ادرس قبولیت one translator's capability and the other as acceptance. So it is desired that you make yourself capable of acceptance. So for example, you are reciting the Quran Sharif, then you will make your recitation worthy of acceptance, capable of acceptance. Generally, when the recitation of Quran Sharif is being discussed, so we will discuss the hadith, Al-Mahiru Bil-Quran, the one that is a perfectionist in the Quran Sharif, Ma'as-Safaratil Kiramil Barara, to be with the high elite ranking Malaika. So I was curious to know what is the meaning of Mahir, because you show it to a Qari Sahib, I'm already there, I got the Qirat. So the Mahir refers to two things. One is right recitation and Qiraatun Bila Taraddudi, recitation with the flow. In our modern day, we say, without any stops and stucks. So just looking at the recitation only, half the job. Recitation without any stops and stucks, now is perfection. Al-Mahiru Bil-Quran Ma'as-Safaratil Kiramil Barara. Month of Ramadan is the month of Quran Sharif. So to get anything right, if you start in advance, you can't wait for Ramadan and then start recitation. Ask someone that is going on the marathon, he just gets up in the morning and starts off. He's training in advance. So when the Ramadan month comes in, then his Quran Sharif is well done. Ma'as safaratil kiramil barara. So you want to be ranked, and get both right. Get the recitation right and get the flow right. Just doing one is half the job. Okay. I was explaining in the class today that an easy way to progress, is at no time must an individual feel that I have made the target now. Now I can rest. So at any given time, you must look for ways for your own Islah, your spiritual reformation, and your ilmi reformation. With the ilm, you will progress in yaqeen. Ilm is right, and your yaqeen will grow. But if the ilm is not right, then the yaqeen will also be all mixed up. Now this is happening with people, they may be educated, but they don't have that level of stability, firmness and strength in that end. So anything can come up in the WhatsApp, it will shake them up. They may be alim by name, but that stability and firmness in ilm is not there. So with that stability and firmness is not there, then leave Qadianism, you will go to Qadism, Yasir Qadism, sometimes you will go Begism, sometimes Surkism. So all these isms you will get through. So they will present this stuff in such a way that you want to hold on to it. Right? Because now you can't count it, you can't understand it. But the problem is twofold. One is on his side, who's promoting this type of filth, and the other problem is on your side, that you didn't have the appetite for this, you couldn't digest this. Then why do you take it? You take something that you can digest. OGD you can't digest. So I took it. So you take what you can digest. You can't digest the thing. It will become bilious, you want to throw up. It'll be nauseous. Why? Because you are not used to it. So you take something that you're used to. So this doesn't only refer to food, it refers to your mind also. There must be some meaning. فَانْزُرُوا أَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. You must be very careful as to who you acquire your ilm from. And your ilm is not sound, then anything is going to shake you up. You know, something is going to shake you up. Like your mind can get shaken up, so your ilm also can get shaken up. One person, Tarbiyat al-Salik, Mu'tamid Sahib Rahmat, wrote a long article. So he's writing and how he got affected. He says, I was taking the morning stroll, and now this was the time of the English. See, the English, there were a lot of show in them. About 70% of their life is show, elegance, entertainment. Look at Kufar Western lifestyle. 75-80% is show, elegance, entertainment, sports. Cycling they do, show business they do, drama they do, business they do, clubbing they do, sports they do. And we feel we own if we imitate them. They became the imam. Whatever they're doing, they're doing cycling, you must do it. Cricket they're doing, you must do it. Soccer they're doing, you must do it. They're wearing this type of jacket, must do it. They're going to this type of club, must do it. This type of bioscope they're going, must do it. But whatever they do, as long as we are conforming, this type of clothing they're wearing, must do it. So this person now is taking a morning stroll. India, those days, 120 years ago. Taking the morning stroll, now he comes across a white girl, mounted on a horse, and she's going on a trot, you know. White, and then a blonde hair, all is flapping against the body, his young, elegant look. And this thing, his heart just captured the picture. He went home and making istighfar, but you know, that one picture, one sight of this girl, that has captured my heart, I can't delete it. Says that in order to delete that picture, I moved my premises, because I thought, if accidentally I come across this again, I can't get this right, what's going to happen to me? So he moved away to a different town. That was not sufficient. He moved, the thoughts are becoming more and more aggressive. First it came in lightly, then he moved away from the town, now the thoughts are becoming even more aggressive. He said, alright, to break that aggression, he got married. Then he becoming even more aggressive. Then he got children from the same woman that he married, becoming more aggressive. Initially he thought, alright, maybe I send a proposal for this girl here and I get married. But before he could do anything, she was already proposed. He could have, you know, except made a Muslim order and get married to her. But she already got proposed now. There's no chance left. But the thought of that girl, he says, is becoming so aggressive that the whole day I'm passing that, as I'm retiring and sleeping, that I just have to cover the blanket and she's there again. In my namaz, she's taken control of my namaz, of my day, of my night. So you see, sometimes a picture that your mind has registered becomes like impossible for you to delete. No matter what he tried everything, moved away, got married, got children. So exactly the same, you want to read something, you want to listen to something, and your mind captures the thing. Now you can't delete the thing. Think, you know, how much I deleted. Can't discuss it. My iman is getting all mixed up. I heard this thing here, but now it's affecting my iman. But then who asked you? You take on something that you can digest. You can't digest it. Don't take it. Don't play around. So like your stomach cannot digest something, your mind also can't digest something. When you can't digest it, then rather don't play around. So now, these type of talkers, speakers are coming about, and they're coming out in the WhatsApp, they've got their programs, listening to them, and then When you listen to them, now you've understood the ishkal, the question you understood, but you don't seem to understand the answer. Like the same, this Qadi chap, Qadi or whoever, so he's coming in, right? So it's a conference or something. So he comes in with his coffee. Now he's coming to the podium perhaps, and he's got his cup of coffee, and perhaps he's sipping the thing. The audience are becoming anxious to know what's going on. See, the drama entertainment, the type of mindset. So to catch the audience, I need to do some drama, so I'll catch the attention. So he says, you see, this thing here, I'm drinking, it's perfectly halal, permissible. But some 100 years ago, then many Arab ulama had declared it as impermissible. Right. So now it's permissible, the Arab lands in the masjid, Ramadan time, they are sipping the same kahwa. What was impermissible and declared as haram through fatwa, now through fatwa they're declaring it permissible. So the conclusion arrives. See what conclusion he arrives. Conclusion he arrives at is fatwas keep changing. So then if keep changing, what must do? Don't worry about it. That's what he's telling you. Now the answer to this is quite simple. The answer to this is, the answers will change, fatwas will change according to circumstance. You were at home reading 4 rakat namaz. He asked you, how many rakats to read? So he said 4 rakats. Now you want a journey, then you were asked, how many rakats to read? 2 rakats. You won't see the fatwa changed. Circumstances changed. With the circumstance changing, the rule changed. But the rule changed when it changed? When the circumstance changed. You are a minor, so we say namaz is not compulsory for you. We'll encourage the child to perform namaz, but we will not command him. He's 9-10 years of age, not yet of age. So we'll say namaz is not compulsory. Now you came about 13-14, now you say namaz is compulsory. You're not going to read, now we're going to whack you. Right? So you say, no, but the fatwa has changed. Just now it was not compulsory, now it became compulsory. Right? Yes. Circumstances change, then the rule changed. And that happens in law. There's a case somewhere, well, ladies with somewhere. Right? So, a young boy had fallen in love with a young girl, right? Muslim girl. Hindu against Muslim. So, it came up to the court. The court ruled that you cannot do anything about this. Because he's a minor, she's a minor. They're in love, so what? And if you all are going to be aggressive, we'll take custody, we will house these people. Right? Right? So, they are minors. Because they are minors, they were not responsible for what they're doing. Once they will become of age, now they'll become answerable. If the same person that was at the age of 15 or 16, he committed a crime, then it will not be taken as a criminal offense. 15, 16. If he did something wrong, they will not take it as a criminal. They'll warn him, they'll do something, and they'll squash the case and throw it out, right? Why? Because he's 14, 15. But the same person now, he's 18, will they treat it the same way? When he's 21, the condition, circumstances changed, so the rule changed. The law changed when the circumstance changed. So this happens in the circular law. It happens in every other system. When the circumstances will change, then the command will change. But now to give it such a look, you know, fatwas keep, they go on changing. Now that is misleading. And now shaitans, they go and perfect this art. They perfect the art of misleading. Now look, when we were much younger, right? Much younger. I think we were 10, 11 years of age. So there was a big masala about the form of the namaz over the mic. Generally in the masjid, then the namaz wouldn't be performed over the mic. Then gradually the people got into the idea of performing namaz on the mic. Ulama had also ruled at that time that the namaz on the mic was not permissible. Now the circumstance, look at the circumstance. Don't say now that fatwas keep changing. You see, one of Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah was seated, and Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Rahmatullah was seated, and I think so the third person was one Abdul Qadir Sahib Raipuri Rahmatullah, and some Khalifa of Mawla Ilyas, something like. Imagine Mawla Ilyas was such a great person, so his Khalifa will be so great, right? When his Khalifa will be so great, can you imagine now, right, what is his position? So there was some discussion about some political thing that's going on. So someone said, but the Muftiyan-e-Kiram have passed a fatwa that this is not permissible. So this Khalifa of Ilyas Abraham says, fatwa ki baat se ki taraf dhyan nahi dena chahe. To badalta hi rehta hai. Fatwa mustn't take it too serious because it goes on changing. As the Shaykh will hit the hadith, normally before his uncle he would be like silent, absolutely silent. But he went into a rage. And he said, tumne kya baat ki? Mujhe andesha hai ke kahin tumhari nisbat sirb sar na ho jaye. I'm afraid that this nisbat that you got, you became a wali of Allah Ta'ala, that can be cancelled just now. Muhammad Ilyas Sahib says, maine jab Shaykh ki aankhu laal neeli dekhi, to maybe saham gaya. When I saw his eyes changing, I got afraid. So now, what this person is doing, the disservice that he's doing, is he's discrediting fatwa. What's wrong? What's so serious about fatwa? It goes on changing. Today they said something, tomorrow they'll say something else. So the public now, they don't understand. And he's got that information. But how to mislead, taking the same information, and how to mislead. I remember around that age, there was some discussion going on that performing namaz over the microphone phone, is it right or not right? So there was a discussion going on. Someone was saying impermissible, someone was saying permissible, whatever. But after then we got to the kitabs, now we understood what was the reason for the difference. So initially the microphone, the technology of it was, it had like an acoustic effect. So it was not the actual sound of the reciter. It was the echo. So the follower to the imam, what is he following? Is he following the imam or is he following the echo? He's following the echo. So his namaz, how can his namaz be correct? You're supposed to be following the imam. You say in your niyad, iqtadaytu bihadha al-imam. Don't you say that? You are reading namaz behind this imam. Now you have to change your niyad to say, I'm performing namaz behind this echo. Can you understand the discrepancy? Later on, the technology changed, and they said, no, now the sound that comes is the original sound. So the circumstances changed, then the law changed. It was not that the fatwa kept on changing. See, now this is misleading. And it's pure shaitan. This is like a trained shaitan. One is like a kaccha shaitan. Anari kisam ka shaitan. Very unqualified. And one is a perfect shaitan. Really learn the shaitan. How to mislead, how to misguide. But then, he is not only to be blamed, we are also to be blamed. See, on the day of Qiyamah, قَالَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا لِلَّذِينَ اِسْتَبَرَّ الَّذِينَ اتُّبِعُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا. Right? Then on the day of Qiyamah, the following and the leader, they will try to break away. You are the people, you know, you misled us. So the following also will say, that we didn't force you. مَا كَانَ لَنَا عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ. We didn't force you. Yes, we encouraged you. But simultaneously, as we were discouraging you towards our path, there were the ulama that were encouraging you on the right. So you had a choice to go this way or that way. Of your own choice, you chose this path here. So you can't say it is entirely our doing. You had a choice to accept this or that. Of your own, you went on this side. Now you can't say, no, he is misled. Yes, it's his problem as well. But you cannot be absolved of the problem. See how these games are being played. So it's a very dangerous thing. In a small move, listening to one thing, that question, that doubt has already set into your heart. Now to delete that doubt, is it an easy thing? Is it an easy thing? So that's why I say, by the even a thing as precious as iman, don't play with this. No matter what it cost. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah used to say, but even you talk about worldly things, it's better than you engaging this type of dini talks. Yeah, hey, what? the tiles are coming from here, half the price, quarter the price. It's alright, talk about it, it's alright. Why it becomes a dunya, or whatever it is, but you're not compromising your iman. It's Muru Kaya, buying from this person here, second hand. I'll pick it up for you, half the price. Yeah, show me the particular, it's alright. It sounds like a dini, dunya talk, but your iman, your belief are not getting shaken. But you're going to talk around these things here, and you're not qualified for it, you don't have the appetite for it, you can't digest this thing here. I ask you, is it not going to shake you up? Sometimes the doubt will get in, but you don't know what's the answer to it. The doubt sat in nicely, but now what is the solution? How do we find an exit from this? And you feel ashamed to go and ask everybody, anybody. You saw your local imam, you asked him. Perhaps he is not qualified enough to give you an answer. So no, he's not satisfying me. And you don't have that heart to go and ask, and find out, and clear the doubt from your mind. So you see where you stand. So the easy thing is you don't entertain the talk. Someone is starting of the talk. So I said, nowadays it's very easy to escape. Somebody, you can see now, he's talking off beat. Of the course, he's talking. So it's going to come on to be Ghibat, for example. Or something that's going to cause a mental confusion. You know, talk something, you know, it's going to, and for me to deal with confusion is going to be a problem. Right? Or he's talking about someone, right? And he's almost bordering on Ghibat. Or he's talking about Iman, or some ulama, or some buzurgan at the end, right? And now he's talking good, perhaps the next person is going to talk something else about him. So now he says, to escape the situation is very easy. Yeah? You just press the phone, hey, I got a phone. Sorry, bro. Move away. Huh? I got a phone, just move away. Move away now. But why must you inflict a harm on to yourself? He's talking about things that are agonizing, grieving, painful. He's miserable, right? Perhaps he doesn't have a proper good relationship at home. Perhaps something is happening in his business, some problem he's got. But all that misery has to go and offload. So why must you now be the truck to take all his misery? You are a dump truck, but you must take everybody's problems and you must dump it to yourself. If he wants to be miserable, let him die with his misery. He wants to be miserable, let him die. But why must you take all his misery on? You don't have the capacity, you don't have the answers. So why must you listen to it? Al-Mawad Thanvi Sahib Rahman says, not a dump yard. Your heart is tajalli gahe akbaras. You know, the Kaaba Sharif, how much we respect. So the heart is supposed to be respected even more than that. Because that is the place, that is the place where the special noor of Allah Ta'ala descends. And when that noor is going to see all filthy, all type of wrong thoughts, doubts, allegations, ghibat, everything, swear words, and everything else you're finding that you're going to see in your heart, there's no more for it, it's not going to come there. Now you don't need these things here. So that is why I say we are moving towards Ramadan. Like we need to get the Quran Sharif right, we need to get our hearts right. And getting our hearts right, I say, by rather talk worldly things. But don't you ever risk your iman. Azizji Muhammad Rasulullah Sahib Rahman is saying, see, Buzurgan al-Din, they speak in very simple words. But our problem is this, that we take them very shallow things. They're talking about very shallow things. But hear the high things. And when you hear the high things without a foundation, you know, talk about a skyscraper, but you don't have a foundation, what's going to happen? The whole thing, whatever you put up, it's going to fall down. So, uska ilm ka kya aitibar? Can you rely on such a person's ilm? He's what? Yeah, the show is the everything is in place, you can see, right? Everything is in place. But that's just a show. It doesn't have a foundation. It's just a matter of days, that thing will just collapse, will fall down. So that's the condition of the ilm. They don't have that level of yaqeen. When they don't have that level of yaqeen, somebody is bringing something and your heart is taking on the doubt, and you don't have that eraser to go and erase those things. So don't you play, don't you experiment with iman. Other is to give the simple stories to root your iman. Harun al-Rashid, his wife, she was the one that was responsible for that Nahr Zubaydah. She brought that Nahr right to Makkah Mukarramah. Millions of Hajis and people coming for Umrah, they were enjoying. For centuries, right? I don't know from where she brought the thing. couple of good kilometers you must have brought it from, right? She brought it right to Mecca to serve the Hajis. So can you imagine what a great service she's done in a place like Mecca Mukarrama, and to bring water, to make water available freely to everybody? What a great reward, right? But as she died, someone asked her, but, you know, what happened to you? Allah Pak forgave me. What happened? So she says that perhaps it was Ramadan, a long day, 17-18 hour roza, was around the time of iftar. You know, just as iftar, what happens in eastern countries is first they ring a bell or they sound a cannon, right? And after that the azan goes. Because the azan, the muazzin also should eat something. We expect it, but it was straight away called the azan. He has to also eat something, but maybe he was there. Tumbi rozas, zara khayal karo. He'll eat something, so they sound a cannon, he'll eat, and then they start the azan. Now, if I give you the preliminary, you must be thinking, how is it happening? So, the cannon is sounded, right, and she's about to take the first rukma. And just then she hears the azan, right? When she hears the azan, she leaves the food, she corrects her scarf. The scarf was not right, right? So she corrects the scarf, the word in the name of Allah Ta'ala. I need to show respect to it. Whatever it is, but the name of Allah Ta'ala is coming. The name of Nabi Sam is coming. I need to correct myself. So she corrected the scarf. Waited for the adhan to go. And then she had her meals, right? She didn't need to do this, but the respect was overwhelming. He says, because of the overwhelming respect that I showed on that occasion, I muffed. So this is what I'm saying from the beginning, that people are looking at qabiliyat, how capable the person is. You're not looking at the acceptance. And what we're supposed to be looking more at is that acceptance, not the capability, how dynamic the person is, how powerful it is, what level of acceptance he's got. That is what Allah is going to see. Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi, son just graduated and came after 10 years. So, the Muri is now the Sa'i. Mulana came, new, fresh in. So powerful he must be. So let us give him the platform. He spoke about 2 hours he spoke. Nobody is affected. And there, the Shah Sahib, Shah Abdul Qadir Jilani, he caught up and he says, Raat ko maine sehri ke liye kuch doodh chhora tha. I had left some milk for sehri. Woh billi aakar ke doodh pi gaya. That cat came and drank the milk. He had to just say this, but you see the condition of the heart was such that the whole crowd were capsized, crying, Lord, pot ho gaye. They couldn't control themselves. So what was the difference? Iske andar qubooliyat thi, iske andar qabiliyat thi. He had that dynamic power he had. And this person had that acceptance. So the greater thing to invest in is not the capability. It's on the acceptance. Sometimes you see a simple kitab, but that thing is moving for generations. The whole world is reading the kitab. Look at Quduri Sharif, and for generations it's carrying on. Centuries, but a simple kitab, Nur Lisa, simple kitab. A lot of kitabs, much more higher profile than these kitabs. But Allah Ta'ala stamped the acceptance. When He stamped the acceptance, then centuries are passing, all the mothers are accepting the same thing. So what was this that gained their acceptance? It was that deep commitment, loyalty, love, respect that they had shown to Allah Ta'ala. So they used to give all these simple incidents. But just to impress upon us, by qubooliyat comes with 2 things, generally, in the words of Sayyid Ahmad Rifai, rahmatullahi. One is this respect. For anything that is connected to your deen, show it respect. Maybe you can't do everything, but don't you compromise on your respect. It's an alim of deen, you respected him. Muazzin is calling out azan, you respected him, right? Imam Sahib in the masjid, you respected him. But don't look into his personal life. Hey, this Imam Sahib is doing like this. He's cheating, he's robbing. It may be right what you're saying, but don't talk about it. Do as though you never see it. Don't go and pry into his business. Yes, he's discharging a big obligation. I respect him for it. It's not my business to go and investigate his personal life. Yes, if his faults, his mistakes are becoming open, it's a different thing. But now for me to go and search his faults, his mistakes, whatever, it's not my business. It may be that he's doing 20 good, maybe one, two small wrongs in him, right? Or big wrongs. But now we discount that 18 good that he's doing and focus on the two wrongs, right? We'll lose the plot. You not doing it yourself, he's doing it, alright, he's not doing it 100%, he's doing it 80%. That person also, you want to discredit him and move him. Now who's going to do dini work? I ask, who's going to do the dini work? So, yes, slowly, slowly, dignified way, if you are in charge, responsible, so you correct him, slowly, slowly, respectably, whichever way you find, in a dignified, respectable manner, you try to correct him, because you're responsible, you're in charge. You can't leave it also, but you can't then just treat him as dirt. Whatever you want to say, whatever filth you want to offload, you just offload on the person. No, that's not right. At least treat him as your jammai, right? You know, by Pariyar, I should say, two people look after, what? One is your jammai, son-in-law, and one is your landlord. Both people, you play around with these people here, creating the problems. Your son-in-law, you look after him properly. You look after him, your daughter is all right. The landlord also will look after him. Yes, boss. Keep on saying yes, boss. He will see your rental right. He will see your premises right. But you play around, interfere with them. No. By the same token, that imam, that muazzin, I don't say they are anbiya and they are sinless. There may be some mistake here, there, whatever they're doing. Right. But now you won't count their mistakes and their weaknesses. What will happen to people? The little respect that they have for deen, that is lost. And you're not doing that deeny work, and someone else is doing it, and you're smashing him down, what's going to be the end result? So for your own preservation of your own deen, alright, if you're in charge of him, you're responsible of him, nicely, like how you speak to your son, or your jamma'i, or the wayway to the wayway, you know, you also have a lot of respect, one wayway to the other wayway, you have a lot of respect. I see all this show, these dramas carrying on. So you show that respect, you know why you're showing it. You know what's going to happen, right? So you show that respect to the person. So, that acceptance comes about with two things. One is anything related to deen, small or big, but show it that respect. As I used to give the story, you know, it says that one Hindu died. Some buzug is seeing that this Hindu is in Jannat. He's strolling around in Jannat comfortably. Hindu normally say Lalaji. Lalaji, tu idhar kaisa pahunch gaya? You lost your way this way. So, no. What happened was one person, my son was eating openly in the month of Ramadan. I smacked him from the back, you know. Besharam, no shame you got. What's wrong with you? Can't you see Muslimano ka, roze ka mahina hai? This is the fasting month of the Muslims. Show it some respect. So, Allah Ta'ala liked this. When Allah Ta'ala liked this, about a year, 2 years before I died, secretly I accepted Iman. I announced the Shahadat. Nobody knew about it because I was afraid. I'm wealthy. But I needed someone's khidmat now. I'm at that age now. But I accepted Islam. I declared the kalima. I didn't do anything against Tawheed. Before my namaz, everything I did. Allah Ta'ala made sure that I die with the kalima on my lips. But you see where it starts off from. It starts off from this point. You show that respect. And who can there be any greater person than Allah Ta'ala that will appreciate? He'll appreciate that small thing, the sunnah that you did, the respect that you showed. So there's one thing that gives that acceptance. The second thing that gives that acceptance is the khidmat that you do for people in general. Whatever little, small, big khidmat that you do. We are talking about Muhammad Ilyas Rahmatullahi and the type of dynamic work that he did, right? That shook the whole world, right? For almost a century. But you understand the start, the beginning of this man, or his family, how they started this thing. We are seeing people doing menial jobs, absolutely menial jobs. They are doing khidmat for them. He's got some luggage, so I helped him out. Absolutely menial. Nobody holds them in esteem and respect. Normally, if it's a buzurug or someone, then everywhere, 10 people want to do khidmat. Yeah. So ask for water, 10 people are prepared to do it. But a person who's got no standing, no status, absolute nothing. Right? Nobody holds him in respect to hold his parcel or to give him a lift. Provided you're not risking yourself. Now someone is, you know the person and you put him into your car and then he becomes a problem for you. It's not right. So you know the person, but he doesn't have any standing. No standing. But he's alright, a simple good Muslim. Or even if it's a non-Muslim, but he seems to be a simple person, you know him. no problem in him, but you rendered some assistance, some assistance. Suppose I can do something for him, something for this person, something for this person. So you're doing that menial job for that person. After he's done the menial job, now sometimes it covers him in dust. See, you're carrying bricks or something for someone. You're carrying cement or something for someone. Right? Now you're going to do all this job here. He's going to dust you. You're going to get dirty. So he'll wash, make wuzu, and then he'll perform two rakat namaz. In sajda, he'll cry to Allah Ta'ala, gunegar like me, and you bless me with the opportunity to serve some of your servants. See, there's two things. If you look in the hadith also, most people gain acceptance, they gain the jannah, because of some khidmat they did. That prostitute woman, she went and gave water to a dog. Imagine the worst to the worst. Dog where the farishtas also won't come into that house, right? So the worst woman to the worst creation, right? But for that she made a jannat. She was such a bad thing, right? But she had that rahm in her heart, that mercy and kindness in her heart. She provided the daughter, she got a jannat. So these two things bring about acceptance. And unfortunately what's happening in this day, we are not looking to invest in this. In the name of Allah Ta'ala, for anything that is associated to him or to his Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we make it a joke and we don't think much about it. Abillahi wa ayati wa rasooli kuntum tastahzi'un. We make it a mockery of Allah Ta'ala, his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his commands and regulations, you make it a joke. You can't do it, except acknowledge I can't do it. I can't do it full. But rather, I do love that. I respect it. I can't manage doing everything. People are talking of tahajjud, whatever. I like to do it. I respect it. Anybody is doing it, I will help you more. But I can't manage it, rather, do forgive me. Now that is a humble heart, Allah Ta'ala likes that heart. But now, you go to the other side, Allah is giving examples. Someone is fasting in the month of Ramadan. So a Muslim will come around, yeah, those people that don't have food in the house, they must fast. He's lost his iman. He made this a joke, but what happened exactly is he lost his iman. One statement, he made a mockery of an obligation. That is, announced in the Quran, so he made a mockery of it. Can't do it, ask Allah's forgiveness. But don't make a mockery of this thing. Whether it's namaz, anything, small or big of deen, don't make a mockery. I say to the extent, even if it is a topi. Now, the same people now, they're talking about all, the way they're confusing the minds of people, that now you don't need to wear an Islamic garb. Same, we talk about this Qadi chapter, right? And everybody's taking on to his bayans, right? And, see, no, it was a national dress of the Arabs at the time, to wear long kurtas, etc., etc. So, now what is the national garb? Shirt and a pants, I must wear that. So you will not say now that because the day of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they were eating dates, etc. Now today, you can only be on the sunnah that you must eat dates. Can't say that. So now see that argument is appealing to people. Right? The argument is appealing to people. And people don't have the capacity to answer these things. It's not such a simple thing. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, he comes into the masjid of Sham, Syria, and he sees a group of youngsters sitting. So he saw them dressed up, ka'anna, and he says, Bukhari says, got it, in the second volume, right? So he's got it there, that Anas Sadiya, when he sees them with that type of dress, he says, ka'annahum yahudu khaybar. These people are dressed like Yahuds. These people are dressed up as Yahuds, right? So the dress that this person is talking of, right? He wants to strip you of your Islam. That's number one. Number two is this person is coming from an Indian background. Now, look at Ibn Khalliqan, right? Ibn Khalliqan, he's an authority on history. Accepted both by secular and Muslims. Everybody accepts him, Ibn Khalliqan, right? So he says, look at the thinking of man, right? I'm showing what this Qadi Sahib is saying, and I'm contrasting it with Ibn Khalliqan, what he's saying, right? He says it's a nature of man that he wants to follow the ruling class, to identify with the ruler, right? Now, if you talk of nationality, now what nationality are you coming from? Coming from India, Pakistan, right? Now, you are, I'm talking to Kali now, that you are suffering from an inferiority complex. Because you came from there, the least you could have done was to preserve your identity. Your great-grandfather wore a kurta, they wore a topi, right? And then they walked in. That was the national dress, right? So they came in with that dress, right? Suddenly you came onto the scene, now you abandon that. That Englishman, that European that came into any country, did he adopt your dress? Did he adopt your dress? He kept his language, he kept his accent, he kept his dress. So you as a monkey, monkey see, monkey do, you as a monkey, because you believe in a monkey, right? So monkey see, monkey do, that monkey mind came into you. See, that the monkey is doing this, so I must do this. But you're not looking at it from this perspective, that my grandfather, we came from this nationality, this is the type of clothing they wore, that I must identify with my own. So he says, what happens? You are suffering from a complex. When you're suffering from a complex, you don't want to identify with your own. You want to identify with a foreigner. He's got nothing to do with Islam. He didn't give up his Islam. He didn't give up his Christianity. He didn't give up his dress, whatever it was. He didn't give up his language also. For your information, if an Englishman came here and was speaking in Urdu, pure Urdu, I see the whole masjid will come, Englishman speaking Urdu. And here, all of us are speaking English. No Englishman is interested about it. Is he interested of you speaking English? But if one Englishman came in front and is speaking Arabic or is speaking Urdu, right? We'll get excited. Angrez sahab, Urdu bol raha hai. How we get excited? See that what mark is left. He's come to this country, he's left the country and he's gone, right? But he left his mark. That we're so overawed, we took his language, we took his clothing, we abandoned our language, we abandoned our clothing. Now you look at one of our children, right? It'll be ghanimat if he can speak one sentence in our language. He doesn't know his language at all. So we are so overawed. So today he's overawed with the dress. He's overawed with the language. Tomorrow he'll be overawed with the religion just now. He'll be gone just now. He'll be wiped from the scene. This Qadiism, one is Qadianism, one is Qadiism. So this Qadianism, is already a write-off. Just now this one will be a write-off, and he'll write you off as well. So Allah said, is warning them, by, you're going to leave this, tomorrow you'll leave your religion. So this way he's warning them, by, your topi, whatever it takes for you to be identified as a Muslim, within your home, out of your home, that's the least you can do. I don't say you become a big buzur by wearing a kurta, but at least you identify with the right. You're not ashamed of your people. You're not ashamed of Muslims. You're not ashamed to be a Muslim. Otherwise, what the message you are giving, I'm ashamed to be with you. I'm ashamed to be with this type of clothing. But you see the poison that he injects. He's injected the poison and he's gone. So now that thing appeal to you. That you can't say, we must have that original food, to be Muslims. Like we don't say, we need to have kajur to be Muslims. We're eating biryani. Nabi said, never see biryani. Right? But have we moved away from Islam by eating biryani? So same thing will happen with clothing. See how he's mixed the mind. So, people don't identify with food. What they identify is with dress. Today, the clothing went away. Tomorrow, the beard will go away. And that's what happened to him. The beard also went away. Like you talk to the average Egyptian, that's how the beard went away. Khalifa is coming, no beard. So what he said, no, it was just an Arab tradition. All the hadiths he has discounted, and he says that this is an Arab tradition. So now, anybody looking at it, he can excite, but see what he's talking about, it's making sense. Arabic tradition. So this is a tradition of this type of clothing. So one thing will go, second thing will go, everything of yours, everything will be lost. So if you look at the Anbiya, if you talk about dressing, then you look at the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, all of them, right? Sometimes you may have a picture of them with a picture. You're not supposed to be keeping a picture. But what impression you get that all of them had beards, all of them had long flowing robes. You're not supposed to be capturing a picture, right? But if you saw a picture of, say, Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, right? So will he wear a t-shirt and a jeans? Na'uzubillah. You'll see him perhaps in flowing, long flowing robes. Don't you see that? So that was something that was like a common feature in all the Anbiya. Long flowing robe. Now, you see, this is a shaitan. They try to move you away, but systematically, one thing after the other. Now, you can't identify. In a crowd, you can't make out who's a Muslim or Muslim. I ask you, how are you going to identify? One person came here. The office on top. So he tells me, you know, I'm disgusted with your students. What happened? I came to your forecourt, came to your office, not a single student made assalamu alaikum. So I told him, alright, I asked an apology on their behalf. But after he was relaxed, and I asked him, but just for my information, had you come in without a topi? So yes, I came in without a topi. I said, well, the child may have thought you were a Christian, you were a Buddhist, you were a Hindu, a Satanist, whatever he must have thought of you. And he may have thought, well, if a Muslim is greeted as Namaste or something, won't he take an exception? Someone treats, you will take an exception, you will feel intimidated. So they must be feeling that if they greet you with the Assalamu Alaikum, then you will may feel intimidated. Because you don't have anything to identify as a Muslim. You don't have a topi, you don't have a beard, you don't have a kurta, nothing, absolutely nothing you have to identify as a Muslim. Perhaps you're too ashamed about wearing a clothing, wearing a topi, etc. So they feeling intimidated to greet you. So do you blame them? It's a good businessman. So I didn't think about it like this. Good person, alhamdulillah. But a lot of dini work he does. But a lot of these people, if you explain to them rightly, correctly, they don't mind correcting themselves, accepting the mistakes.